But you know, yeah, so we're going to be talking about being salt of the earth this morning. And salt, salt doesn't get its due. We sometimes take salt for granted. In fact, I've got a salt shaker down here. Let me grab it here real quick. And you don't really miss salt until you don't have salt, right? You don't think about it. Think, I'm going to order a steak tonight. Boy, that steak's going to be good. Then there's no salt. All of a sudden, you're in a crisis, right? So, I just spilled salt. Is that bad luck? So you're at the table, right? You're at the restaurant. Beautiful people are commenting on the beautiful tablecloth that's there, or the delicately folded napkin. Oh, how pretty, how quaint, and the beautiful silverware and the plates and the cups and everything so shiny, and then the food comes, right? Oh, this looks great, this looks awesome. You're just having a wonderful evening, everything's going great, and then you reach for the salt and it's not there. Oh my goodness, there's no salt. You start looking for the waitress. Waitress, try to be calm about it, right? But waitress, I gotta have, could you bring me some salt, please? Yes, I'll be right there, she says. And all of a sudden, you're relieved because there is salt in your life again. You've probably never been quite that desperate about salt, but salt's important, isn't it? Have you ever had broccoli without salt? Broccoli's delicious, but not without salt, at least in my opinion. You know, in this world that we live in, there's a lot good going on. We live in the most technologically advanced, the wealthiest, the most abundant time ever in the history of the world. We have everything you can imagine, we have access today. Even in this country, the what we would consider the poor among us have reliable, for the most part, reliable housing and food and clothing. And, you know, not to mention that we have access to all this gadgetry today that makes our life so easier, and to education, to medical care, and to all kinds of things. Not to mention the internet and what that has opened up for so many lives. But yet, in the middle of that, all of this abundance, yet there's so much unhappiness in the world. Not even to mention the world, but in our nation, this abundant nation, there's so much fear, there's so much anxiety, so much worry and depression. There seems to be something missing. There seems to be an ingredient that's missing in the lives of so many people, even in the presence of so much abundance. What is that? What's missing? Well, Jesus called his disciples around for this Sermon on the Mount that we began talking about last week. And he gets to a point in the sermon this morning where he says, you know what's missing? What's missing is salt. And what's missing is light. Because salt brings a certain amount of seasoning. It takes a bland life and spices it up. And light takes a person who's in darkness, who's living a dark existence, and it introduces brightness into their lives. Jesus says, you know what's missing? What's missing is salt and light. Now, what did he mean by salt and light? He didn't say, everybody rush down to Meijer or Kroger and pick up you a shaker of salt and get you a light bulb and everything will be just fine. Who are the salt and the light? Jesus says, good people doing good things, doing the little things that season life and that brighten up people's lives. That's what salt and light are. Now, it's not just some theoretical people that are the salt and the light. He didn't say it's the people down the road. They need to be the salt and the light. What did he say in his sermon? He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now that makes it personal, doesn't it? He had to go and make it personal. He couldn't just keep it theoretical. Jesus is really good at that, isn't he? He always brings it back to you and me and what we need to be doing in our lives. He looked over the land and he saw what was missing, and what was missing was you and me doing good things, showing kindness and love and mercy and being people of grace, so that we season people's lives and we bring light into their darkness. In fact, Jesus goes so far to say this. This really gets personal. He says, if you're not being salt, and if you're not being light, then you're really not worth much. Well, did Jesus say that? Well, look what he said. He said, if salt loses its saltiness, what do you do with it? Well, it might be good for putting it out on the streets, maybe give the wheels a little traction, but that's about it. You just trample over it. He's not saying our ultimate ontological worth is questioned, but he says your practical worth. What are you doing in a practical sense with your life if you're not being salt and you're not being light? So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And that's a crucial point. What good are we if we're not seasoning and we're not lighting up the world with goodness and kindness and good words and kind deeds? Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's the point of this first half of the reading of the passage that we had from today. And that's good stuff. That really hits home. Jesus really touches us in a powerful way. But if you were to look at the second half of our reading this morning, you might think, well, what's the connection there? Is there any connection between salt and light? And then Jesus goes sort of down this rabbit trail of talking about the law and the commandments and things like that, there in verses 17 through 20. We might not see a connection between that and this salt and light business, but a closer look at it, and we're going to take a closer look at it, we see that Jesus is giving us specific instructions about how this salt and light business works in our lives, how we practically make it work. And after thoroughly taking in the whole law, and Jesus had been doing this from the time he was a boy, right? When we know the story of when he and his parents visited Jerusalem when Jesus was a young boy. They lost him. They couldn't find him. And they ended up finding him in the temple as a 12-year-old. And he was teaching the grown men about the law, about the details of the law. So we know Jesus had been thoroughly taking all of this in for some time. And he came to the conclusion that there are two laws that sum up everything. And we've heard this before, that encompasses all of the law. And those two laws are love God and love each other, right? Jesus says that more than once in the scriptures. And he says everything else is commentary. Love God and love each other, and then everything else is sort of commentary on those two laws. But because of this, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were always in a tense relationship with Jesus for a number of reasons, because of this, they accused Jesus of rejecting the law. They said, there's more than two laws there. In fact, there's hundreds, even thousands of laws, and you're saying there's only two. You must be rejecting the law. And Jesus says, no, I didn't come to reject the law. I came to fulfill the law. I came to fulfill every part of the law. In fact, Jesus says that we shouldn't ignore any part of it. He says, not the smallest letter or the least stroke of the pen will be ignored. Or I like how the King James says it so poetically, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. And so Jesus says, here's his point. Jesus says, holiness is in the details of your life. And there he goes, getting personal again. You see, holiness is about all the little things that come together to make up our life. A bit of salt is so tiny, but when it comes together with all the other little tiny bits of salt, it can make a steak taste really good. It can even make broccoli taste good. So it's the details, it's the little things, Jesus says, that we have to pay attention to. Fulfill our little obligations. Remember, Jesus said the eye is on the sparrow. The scriptures say the Lord knows even the number of hairs on your head. God is paying attention to the details of our lives. And by taking care of the little things, we leave the big things to God. But our responsibility is day in and day out taking care of the little things. I had this influential mentor that taught me early in my career to pay attention to detail. He told me, he said, you know, most leaders that you will find will focus on vision all the time. They'll be consumed with vision, with the big picture stuff. And he said, that's the sexy part of leadership. And it's important, but every organization, because every organization needs a leader to sort of see where they're headed. But if that's all you ever do is worry about vision and the big picture, he says you'll get lost. Because where things happen in your organization or in your life or in your church is in the little things. It's the details. It's the habits you create. It's the behaviors that you demonstrate over and over again with your life. It's the little things that accumulate, and they will either form good habits or bad habits. They'll form good practices or bad practices, good attitudes or bad attitudes. In some form or another, it's about the detail in your life. Think about it when you think of beautiful things, and I mentioned before the sermon this morning about the beauty of this sanctuary. What is it that makes this sanctuary so beautiful? Well, it is the vision of the symmetry and how the windows point to heaven and the roof points to heaven and the steeple out front that all kind of gives praise to God. But look at the detail that's in this building. And in the windows, and have you just ever looked at the ceiling and said, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Somebody did that. Somebody got up there. Couldn't have been me, because I'd have been a nervous wreck. Somebody got up there and did that. Because it was all about detail. Beauty is about attention to detail. In fact, there's a style of art called pointillism. You may have learned that in your art history class way back when, that you could barely stay awake in. But they did talk about this. And it was called pointillism. There's a very famous painting, and if I say it, you probably won't know what it is, but if you saw it, you would recognize it. It's by a painter named Georges Seurat, French painter, and he uses dots to create this beautiful work of art, and it's called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte. It's a beautiful, recognizable painting. And if you see it from a distance, it looks like any normal painting. But as you walk up closer and closer to it, you begin to see these little dots pop out at you. And you realize that the whole painting was created by the painter making little dots, not swaths, not large marks with the paintbrush, but it's just dot after dot after dot. And you back away and you see this beautiful painting of this garden along the La Grande Jatte. Now each of us then, Jesus says, and this is where Jesus brings it all together in this very personal teaching for us. He says, each of us are little grains of salt. Each of us are little rays of light that when brought together, we offer something that can be seasoning to a bland world. We can offer light to a world that's living a dark existence today. We may not appear to be very influential or powerful on our own for creating beauty or goodness, but together we can create and we can become a Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte. And you have permission if you want to look at that up. You know, some of you may be doing that. Yeah. Doing it. You've probably heard this phrase before too from Margaret Mead. She was an influential 20th century anthropologist, and she said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." So this is the kind of righteousness, this pointillism of good works that Jesus is talking about. He says that's what makes the grade with God. The scribes and Pharisees were really good at talking about the big picture and then getting very legalistic about point after point after point. But Jesus said, no, there's a big picture of what makes the good life and what makes a beautiful world. He called it the kingdom of heaven and said, what that is you and me and you coming together and being these little points that create a beautiful life, that create a beautiful world. And so we can enter into the ugly and we can make something beautiful. We can enter into the darkness and we can bring light. We can enter into something that's just bland and beige and just ugh, and we can season it and we can spice it up because of the love of God and His light and His mercy and His grace and His power that lives in us. But what if we're not salt? Like I said, I've tried broccoli without salt and it is no good. Someone you know is living right now without the seasoning of a kind and a good and a righteous person in his or her life. And it's a lonely and it's an anxious and it's a depressing life. Maybe you're the one called to be salt in that person's life, the wonderful seasoning of Christ in their moment of need. What if we're not light? Well, living in darkness is no fun. Maybe there's somebody that needs to know light, to know the love of Christ, to know hope, to see a little beacon of hope in their life. Jesus says, it's you who are the light. I'll finish with this. A few years ago, people who fancied themselves as beach people, or bohos, I think they're called, they began putting the Salt Life bumper stickers on the back of their cars or on their car windows. You've probably seen those. Maybe you've got one. Maybe you fancy yourself a Salt Life kind of person. It communicated to people who they were. It said, I'm a beach bum. I'm a salty dog. I love the beach. I'm an ocean lover. Well, Jesus says that we Christians are salt life people too. Only we don't have to be on the beach to be salt life people. Wherever we are, whatever the time is, whoever we're with, we can be the salt of the earth. We can be the seasoning that helps a friend or a stranger make it through the day, or help them get through a tough night, or get over the hump, or maybe even help them turn a corner or turn a new leaf. So let's leave today knowing this, that we are created and our practical worth comes from being seasoning and brightness, being salt and light. Life was never meant to be bland or to be lived in darkness. And so that for that reason, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. May we be worthy of His calling and live the salt life together. Let's pray. Father, in this world that has in many ways become dark and confused and ugly and worrisome, even fearful, we can feel helpless, lacking any influence, as if we lack any influence or have any way of making any improvement upon where the world is headed. But your son Jesus doesn't let us off the hook so easily. And I'm thankful this morning that he makes it personal. That he says, we who are present here today are to be the ones who bring seasoning and light to the world. Father, may we be committed to the salt life. May we be committed to be lights that are on a stand that fill up the whole room. And in that, may your name be glorified. May people know and experience the kingdom of heaven. And may they know your salvation. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.